بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, we begin. I praise Allah, the Most High, the One free of all imperfection, the One who deserves to be worshipped alone. Am I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of worship except Him, and that Muhammad, may Allah's salah and salam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And we inshallah will continue the stories of the prophets and the messengers. And tonight inshallah we'll start with the story of Ibrahim, the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in his book so much about Ibrahim, so much about Abraham or Ibrahim. And like all the other messengers and prophets, they are examples for us. And especially Ibrahim is a special example, because Allah the Most High commanded our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and commanded us to follow the way of Ibrahim, meaning in regard to his creed, the essence of which was the belief in the oneness of Allah, as well as in many aspects of his way. And that's why Allah commanded this in the Quran, and this was really very particular to Ibrahim, to Abraham alayhi salam. May Allah's safety and be granted to him. Allah had bestowed on Ibrahim wisdom and keen thought, and Allah showed him the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, so that he will be of those who have faith with certainty. That's why Ibrahim alayhi salam achieved through that certainty and knowledge and strength in faith. Allah sent him to a people who were mushriks, meaning worshipping other than Allah. They used to worship the sun and the moon and the stars. And these are the Sabians, As-Sabi'ah, the philosophical sect known as the Sabians. And some of them still exist in Iraq. And they were amongst the wicked of the sects. So Ibrahim called them through several ways. And the first of which, he called them through a way that any person with common sense and sensible intellect would not turn away from it. Since these people used to worship the planets, and amongst them is the sun and the moon, and they have established for it special homes or temples on earth for them to use as places of worship. So Ibrahim used with them the art of debating. So he said, come on my people, let's look the debating through a process in order to establish evidence. And we will see how this is described in the Quran very beautifully. So he said to his people, come and let's look to see if any of these planets that you worship have any divine or have any lordship qualities. So as Allah states in chapter 6 verse 76, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. So when the night covered him over, he was covered with darkness, he saw عليه السلام, he saw a kawkab and he said, this is my Rabb. He saw a star and he said, this is my Lord. Look at the way of debating now. Look how he's setting the stage for this magnificent style of art or art of debating. So when the night covered him over with darkness, he saw a star and he said, this is my Lord. And as we know now, in debating differs in its style from other conversations. And one particular aspect of difference or distinction is that the debater may say something he does not believe in order to establish evidence upon his counterpart. And this is very important, that the debater may say something which he does not believe in order to establish evidence upon his counterpart. And this was the case with Ibrahim, as we will see, when he came and crushed their idols, and you know, they told him, أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, did you do this to our idols, O Ibrahim? As in the Quran chapter 21 verse 62. So he pointed to the idol which he left intact, their big one, and he had the axe on the shoulders of this big one. He left it there for a purpose, and he said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. Look at his way. He said, this one, their big one amongst them, their idol, is the one who did it. So ask them, he told them. So in this way, he is trying to establish evidence and is trying to establish proof. And we will come about this, but or we'll come across that, but this is just to illustrate the point. So this debater, now in this case Ibrahim alayhi salam, is mentioning something which he does not believe in order to establish the evidence on his counterparts. Some people try to invite, so we'll share from the beginning. Okay. So in this case he is saying, this is my Lord. This is my Lord. And when he looked at the stars and he called his people, come and see, and he looked at stars and this is my Lord. This is now setting the stage for his establishing the proof and the evidence upon them. Meaning that if this one deserves to be given divinity, so let's examine his status. He knows very well that he doesn't deserve it, so that's why he's trying to establish the evidence. So when he said, فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ, when the star set, he said, I like not those that set. When the star set, he said, قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ, I don't like, or I like not those that set. See how the process he's trying to do? Okay, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Okay, sister Stevie. So, if the status of this thing is like, it exists and not existing, and disappears and comes and disappears and sets, then everyone with a sound intellect would know that it's not perfect, therefore it doesn't deserve to be divine. So this was with the star first, then he moved to the moon step by step. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا, and when he saw the moon rising up, قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي, he told them, this is my Lord. This is the other step now. فلما أفل, but when it set, but when it set, what did he say? He said, unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among the people who went astray. He's making them listen. So he said, this is my Lord about the moon, showing them that again this thing will set, and he knows well that it will set. He saw it before setting. So he's trying to bring them back to their senses. And he's saying, well, unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among the people who went astray. So he's now pretending as if he is like in agreement with them, not like an agreement in a way of traditional agreement, meaning blind imitation. No. He is now aiming to establish the proof that these stars, the star and the moon in this case, they are going to disappear, they're going to set, and therefore they don't deserve to be gods. فأنا إلى الآن لم يستقر لي قرار عرب وإله وعظيم. And therefore now I am up till this moment, I didn't really establish as to who would be the Rabb and the Ilah, the great divine God. So this is like, you know, pretending to be in agreement with them, because he's going to take them now to the third step, as we see. So فَلَمَّ رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً. So now he went to the big one, the sun. He said, when he saw the sun rising up, he said to them, this is my Lord, this is greater. Look at this. This is greater. Knowing well, knowing well it will set. Knowing well that it's set. And it's seen to him that it will set. It's known that it will set. So when he saw that, when he saw the sun rising up, he said, this is my Lord, this is greater. But when it set, he said, فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ. And before he established to them that the thing that set does not deserve divinity, so even this big one of yours now, therefore, does not deserve it. So therefore, at this moment, he established the proof upon them. What did he say? فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ. Look what he said. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. He said, O my people, I am indeed free from all that you join as partners in worship with Allah. Dissociated himself now, meaning openly and inwardly. He said, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِي لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا. Verily, I have turned my face towards Him, Allah, who has created the heavens and the earth, that is submitting to Him in worship, and I am not of the mushriks, and I am not of those who ascribe partners to Allah. So now, He had established upon them the proof, and this is an intellectual proof, that the creator of this, the heavenly and the lower spheres, is the one who should be sought to be worshipped alone, and that these stars and these planets from these created things, they are under the affair, they are being run and administrated by their creator, and therefore they have no qualities or attributes that would make them divine. So what did they use? They started threatening him by his gods, that something may occur to him because of his neglect to their gods. So he gave them the following answer, showing them that there is no fear upon him, but rather the fear is upon them. He said, his people disputed with him. وَحَاجَّهُ قَوْمُهُ قَالَ أَتُحَاجُّونِ فِي اللَّهِ وَقَدْ هَدَانِ. He said, do you dispute with me concerning Allah while he has guided me from the beginning? And I fear not those whom you associate with him in worship. Nothing can happen to me except when my Lord Allah wills something. My Lord comprehends in his knowledge all things. Will you not then remember? Will you not then remember? Then he said, وَكَيْفَ أَخَافُ مَا أَشْرَكْتُمْ وَلَا تَخَافُونَ أَنَّكُمْ أَشْرَكْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And how should I fear those whom you associate in worship with Allah, though they can neither benefit nor harm? How you fear not that you have joined in worship with Allah things for which you has or He has not sent down to you any authority or any proof? So which of the two parties has more right to be in security? If you but know. The one who is going to be the security in security is the one who does not mix any partnership with God in worship. That's why in the next verse, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. It is those who believe in the oneness of Allah and worship none but Him alone and confuse not their belief with wrong and with shirk, for them only there is security and they are the guided. They are the guided. Okay. Okay, yes, no voice. I was cleaning some of the space on my disk. I got a message to say that my C drive needs to be cleaned a little bit, so that's why I've done that. So can you receive my voice now, inshallah? So what happened here now? Okay, alhamdulillah. So Ibrahim now, Prophet Ibrahim, with knowledge, establishing evidence, they were unable to defend their falsehood, but they insisted to continue in their false beliefs. They were not benefited by his admonition and by his establishing the evidence and by his reminder. None of that really helped them. He continued to call them to submit to Allah openly and in every opportunity he had. And the most special of them that he called, the most special to him that he called, was his father, Azar. His father, Azar. The name of his father was Azar. Prophet Ibrahim's father is Azar. He called upon him, or called him, through different beneficial ways. But as Allah says in the Quran in chapter 1096, Brother Abu Maher, assalamu alaikum. Are you here? Chapter 1096. إن الذين حقت عليهم كلمة ربك لا يؤمنون. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. ولو جاءتهم كل آية حتى يروا العذاب الأليم. Truly those against whom the word, the wrath of your Lord has been justified, will not believe. Will not believe. Meaning those who Allah knew that they will not believe, even if they are given every sign. As Allah says, even if every sign should come to them, they will not believe until they see the painful torment. Out of their arrogance and then of their disdainfulness, So from the things that he said to his father, this was in chapter 10, verse 96, the one I just recited. And we know that from chapter Mary, from Surah Maryam 42, verse 42, the conversation that took place between Abraham and his father. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي. Look at the kind ways of propagating the truth about the oneness of Allah and the call to him. He said, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي, when he said to his father, "Oh my father." And this tells the kindness of Ibrahim when he said, "Ya Abati, O my father." لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Why do you worship that which hears not, sees not, and cannot avail you in anything? These images, these idols that you put, and this applies to anyone who symbolizes anything in these idols and in their things, and thinks that they could benefit them and harm them and come to them seeking help from them. The same thing applies to this. Is chapter 19 verse 42. 19 verse 42. Excellent. And in it, yani, there is a lesson for the people who call to Allah, that they should be kind in their way of presentation and kind in their way of relaying the message. Here is Ibrahim talking to his father, and his father was a disbeliever, and he told him, "Ya Abati." Very kind way of talking to the father, "Ya Abati, O my father." Then he continued to tell him. He established the first thing: why do you worship that which hears not, sees not, and cannot avail you in anything? How come you worship that, knowing that they don't, you know, hear, don't see, etc.? Then he continued, "Ya Abati, Ya Abati," one more time, "O my father, إني قد جاءني من العلم ما لم يأتك فاتبعني أهدك صراطا سويا." O my father, there has come to me of the knowledge that which came not unto you. Yes, exactly. So follow me, I will guide you to the straight path. He didn't go and tell his father, "You ignorant, you don't know nothing," lest he will turn away from harshness. But he told him, "فَاتَّبِعْنِي أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا." Follow me, because I have knowledge, something which you don't have. So follow me, I will guide you to the straight path. Then he reminded him further by saying, "Ya Abati," one more time, "O my father, لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانِ, worship not the devil. Verily Shaitan, Satan, has been a rebel against the most gracious Allah." So step by step moving, as you see, from the beginning. He addressed these items, these objects that he is worshipping, that they are of no avail to you. But then come to this way of mine. That is your true salvation. So from using one etiquette to the other, despite that, what did his father say? He also gave him a warning, Ibrahim. He said, "Ya Abati, inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabun min ar-Rahman fatakuna lish-shaytani waliya." And try to remember this verse, because we're going to come to it later. He said, "Oh my father, verily I fear lest a torment from the most gracious Allah should overtake you, so that you become a companion of Satan in the fire of hell." Gradually building up with him. Despite all of that, what was the stance of his father? He said, "أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا." He said, his father, "Do you reject my gods, O Ibrahim, O Abraham? If you stop not this, I will indeed stone you. So get away from me safely before I punish you." You know, the same occurred with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from his closest relatives, his uncle Abu Talib and his wife treated him in very similar manners. But Ibrahim did not respond by anger. He did not respond by anger. He responded to this great insult with goodness and said, Salamun alayka. Salamun alayka. Ibrahim said, peace be upon you. Sa'astaghfiru laka Rabbi. I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. Okay, I'll see you later, Lulu. You're welcome anytime, and thanks for coming. Temporary internet files, هذه.
Anything?
Until هذا is over. Okay. Okay, here. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to clean up. Something
cookies,
here.
Read files.
Okay. Oh, okay. So what should we? Where?
Settings
here. Okay.
View files.
كله.
Control off.
Where is it? Control?
Control.
Where is the leech? Okay.
Exit.
Okay. What else?
No.
That's it? Okay. Jazakallah khair.
Okay.
Jazakallah khair. What else?
Yeah.
طيب.
أقلام
الرفيع هذه جيب منها. V5 أسود وأزرق. طيب إن شاء الله الحمد لله. Windows has it's you can free even more this space or even more. No, not now. Okay, جزاكم الله خير. I was again. I got this pop-up message to clean up the cookies and everything, so that's what I did. Alhamdulillah, with the help of my son. Jazallah khair. Okay, now we continue, inshallah. So he said to his father, Salamun alayka. Salamun alayka, peace be upon you. I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. Verily he is unto me ever most gracious. So I will not speak to you, meaning to his father, except in good terms, without any roughness and rudity. And I am not despaired to show you the way. And I will invoke Allah to forgive you. Sa'astaghfiru laka Rabbi. This is with his special people, meaning his father. So he continued with his people in da'wah and in arguing with them as to the truth, and he established strong evidences against them and broke most of their arguments and their doubts and so forth. So one day they went to attend okay, Kathy K, so what did you do here? You're just pasting things and ready for them. Good. So one day they left for their for a big festival and a ceremony of theirs, and he went with them. Because he feared that if he would not attend and find a way to get out of it, so he put a plan, and he said, he looked at the stars and he said, "Inni saqim." You know, I am feeling ill, as in Surah As-Saffat, which is Saffat 89, Saffat verse 89. We'll give the number, inshallah, which is number 37, verse 89. So he cast a glance at the stars and he said, "Verily, I am sick with plague." He did it in a tricky way in order to remain in their temple of idols, to destroy them and not to accompany them to this feast of theirs, their pagan feast. You can check that in chapter 37, verse 89. And we will talk about this this approach of Ibrahim later, when we speak about the benefits of this story, inshallah. He feared that this is the only way for him to go and attain the thing which he was really planning, the big thing. When he returned to his to the temples, and where their big idols and their idols are there, and he started smashing them, and only he kept one of the big idols there intact, and he put even the axe on his shoulder in order to establish the proof against them. So after they returned from their pagan feast, they went to their, you know, to look for their gods and so forth, their idols, out of love and magnification, and they saw there the most horrible scene to see from their perspective. Then they said, "Man fa'ala hadha bi alihatina innahu la min adh-dhalimin." As in now in chapter 21, verse 59 and 60, Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 21 and 60. قالوا من فعل so what he did, and by Allah I shall plot a plan to destroy your idols after you have gone away and turned your backs. So he broke them to pieces, all except the biggest of them, that they might turn to it. قالوا من فعل هذا بآلهتنا. Then they said, "Who has done this to our gods?" He must indeed be one of the wrongdoers. So قالوا سمعنا. They said, "We heard a young man talking against them who is called Ibrahim." Who is called Abraham. Meaning we heard him speaking ill about these idols. So what did they do? They said, "Then bring him before the eyes of the people that they may testify." قالوا فأتوا به على أعين الناس لعلهم يشهدون. So bringing all these people so as to disgrace him and inflict harm upon him. Exactly, this is what Ibrahim wanted. This is what Ibrahim wanted, in order to project the truth before all these people and before everyone else. So when all these people were gathered and came, they said to him, أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ. They said, "Are you the one who has done this to our gods, O Ibrahim?" Then he pointed, yes, 61, 62 and also Then he pointed Ibrahim towards their big idol and said, "Nay, this one, the biggest of them." قال بل فعله كبيرهم هذا فاسألوهم إن كانوا ينطقون. Nay, this one, the biggest of them, did it. Ask them if they can speak. Ask them if they can speak. This is now 63. So either if they now will confess to the truth, you know, this being something that will not be accepted by any intellectual person or them with a common sense, because this is, you know, stones, and it can do that. Either also they will say, yes, he is the one who did it, and so you are safe. And he knew that they will not say that, this last one. And that's why he said, فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. Then ask them if they can speak. And this is the conditioning on a matter which they knew that it is impossible. They condition it on a matter that they knew that it is impossible. Therefore, at this moment, the truth became apparent. So they returned to themselves and said, إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمْ. So فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. So they turned to themselves, their first thought, and said, indeed, you Ibrahim, know well that these idols speak not. So they turned to themselves and said, verily you are the polytheists and wrongdoers. فَرَجَعُوا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Then they turned to themselves, their first thought, and said, indeed, you Ibrahim, know well, these idols speak not. So this was only temporal, because the evidence is so apparent and strong that they cannot neglect it, that they cannot neglect. So here Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam established the evidence that they cannot negate in any way. He said, look, these are your idols. Ask them if they can speak. So they were shocked, because they can't deny it. So they said, turned to themselves and said, you are the wrongdoers. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, sister Islam. ثم نكسوا على رؤوسهم. Then they turned to themselves and to their first thought and said, you know, indeed you Ibrahim know well that these idols speak not. At this moment now, Ibrahim admonished them strongly after they openly in front of all these numbers of people. And he said, أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ أُفٍّ لَكُمْ وَلِمَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Ibrahim told them, do you then worship besides Allah things that can neither profit you nor harm you? Now this is 66, Brother Abu Maher, verse 66. أُفٍّ لَكُمْ, fie upon you and upon that which you worship besides Allah. Have you then no sense? Have you then no sense? So meaning that if you have really common sense and sound intellect, you wouldn't establish such a worship of that which can benefit you not and harm you not. Not they can't even defend themselves. Here I came and I broke all their heads and they couldn't defend themselves. So when they were tired, and defeated by all these strong proofs and evidences, they resorted to their weakness. They resorted to their weakness, and that is to use force and tyranny to punish Ibrahim. And that's what they said in verse 68, قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. They said, burn him and help your gods if you will be doing. So that's their weakness. They resulted to this oppression and tyranny. So they set up, alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmed Ja'far. فَأَوْقَدُوا نَارًا عَظِيمًا تَنْجِدًا. So they set a huge and intense fire and they dipped him in it. While in that state, he said, Ibrahim said, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ, suffice Allah is to me, and نِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and the best he is of the one to depend upon. In this respect, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, he said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. قَالَهَا إِبْرَاهِيم. This dua of Ibrahim, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, Ibrahim said it when he was immersed in the fire, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it when it was said to him, as in Surah Al-Imran, could you put that please? Chapter 3, verse 173. He said it, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same thing when he was told, as in chapter 3, verse 173. إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Chapter 3, verse 173, Surah Al-Imran. Those, meaning the believers, unto whom the people, the hypocrites, said, verily the people, pagans, have gathered against you a great army, thereof fear them. But it only increased them in faith, and they said, Allah alone is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs for us. This is reported by Al-Bukhari. Yes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the fire, as in chapter 21, Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 69, when Allah said, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allah said, O fire, be you coolness and safety for Ibrahim. O fire, be you coolness and safety for Ibrahim. So the fire didn't cause any harm to Ibrahim alayhi salam. They intended to plot, وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا, and they wanted to harm him. فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ, but we made them the worst losers. What they wanted to harm him, alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, why did they want to harm him? In order what? In order to honor their gods and have respect after this humiliation that it occurred to them by Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this plot of them turned against them, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was victorious against their leaders and against also the public, meaning the truth was on his side alayhi salam. Even their king as we read in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah 258. Okay, butterfly, it's okay. In chapter 2, verse 258, their king, Allah spoke about him, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ. You know, their king disputed with Ibrahim, and the following argument took place between them, as in Surah Al-Baqarah, which we read 258, Quran 2 258. Exactly. Have you not looked at him who disputed with Ibrahim about his Lord in a way which was unjust, because Allah had given him the kingdom? When Ibrahim said to him, my Lord is he who gives life and causes death, what did this arrogant say? He said, I give life and I cause death. And Ibrahim responded, verily Allah brings the sun from the east, then bring it you from the west. So the disbeliever was utterly defeated. And Allah guides not the people who are wrongdoers. So Ibrahim after that left his people, migrating with his wife and his nephew Lut to the greater Syria area, to Palestine. And while staying in Asham, in the great Syria area, he went to Egypt with his wife Sarah. And she was the most beautiful of women then. So when the king of Egypt saw her, and he was an upstate tyrant, he couldn't hold himself, and he wanted her for himself. فدعت الله عليه فكاد أن يموت. So she invoked Allah against him, and he was almost about to die. And we have to go now to Sahih Bukhari to mention their story in this regard, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to his ummah concerning this incident. In the hadith reported by Abu Huraira, which is in Sahih Bukhari volume 4, hadith number 578. In Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't tell a lie except on three occasions, and we'll see the nature of these occasions. Twice for the sake of Allah, when he said I am sick, as we related this earlier, when he wanted to plot the big one, and they were having the pagans, his people had their festival, and he wanted to go and do that big plot of destroying their idols while they were engaging in that. He gazed at the stars and he said, I am sick, so that he can release himself and go. And he went there and destroyed their idols, so that when they come back, they will see the scene, etc., for that big occasion that he was preparing for them, as we related earlier. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, twice for the sake of Allah, when he said, I am sick. We know that the pagans invited Ibrahim to join them in their celebrations outside the city, but he refused, claiming that he was sick, and he was left alone. He came to their idols and broke them into pieces, and we know the rest. Also, when he said, I have not done this, when he destroyed the idols, he said, I have not done this, and he pointed to the big idol. So when they questioned him, he claimed that he had not destroyed the idols, but their chief had, all to establish the big evidence against them. Bismillah. Abu Abayb, here's one. And the third was that while Ibrahim, and this is the story here, while Ibrahim and Sarah, his wife, were going on a journey, they passed by the territory of a tyrant, and this was in Egypt. Someone said to the tyrant, "This man, Ibrahim, is accompanied by a very charming lady." So he sent for Ibrahim and asked him about Sarah, saying, "Who is this lady? Who is this lady?" Ibrahim said, "She is my sister." You see, Ibrahim was so scared about the chastity of his wife and her deen, and he said, "She is my sister," meaning in Islam. And he even told her before she went, in another narration, "If he asks you, فَأَخْبِرِيهِ أَنَّكِ أُخْتِي," then tell him that you are my sister. فَإِنَّكِ أُخْتِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, you are my sister in Islam, because ليس على وجه الأرض مؤمن غيري وغيرك, on the face of earth there is no believer except me and you. So Ibrahim عليه السلام went to Sarah and said, "Oh Sarah, there are no believers on the surface of the earth except you and I. This man asked me about you and I have told him that you are my sister, so don't contradict my statement." The tyrant then called Sarah, and when she went to him, he tried to take hold of her with his hand. He was trying to physically abuse her, but his hand got off, and he was confounded. He asked Sarah, "Pray to Allah for me. اِدْعِ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَا أَضُرُّكِ, pray Allah for me, and I shall not harm you." So Sarah asked Allah to cure him, and he got cured. He tried to take hold of her for the second time. While this was Ibrahim making salah, he tried to take hold of her for the second time, but his hand got off as stiff as for, or stiffer than before, and was more confounded. He again requested Sarah, "Pray to Allah for me, and I will not harm you." Sarah asked Allah again, and he became all right. He then called one of his guards who had brought her and said, "You have not brought me a human being, but have you brought me a devil?" The tyrant then gave Hajar as a girl servant to Sarah. He gave Hajar as a girl servant to Sarah. Sarah came back to Ibrahim while he was praying. Ibrahim, gesturing with his hand, asked, "Na'am," this is called tawriyah. Tawriyah, you know, using words, and they could have a different meaning, okay? As in this case, it's true, but they have a different meaning. Alright, like in the case when the Prophet ﷺ was chased by the pagans, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina. And a Bedouin came and saw the Prophet ﷺ, and he asked him, "Where are you from?" He said, "Min ma," I am from water. I am from water. And he is truly from water. We are all from water. Because had he told him anything about, you know, where he's coming from, you know, the mushriks are there, they could chase him and actually kill him and his companion Abu Bakr. So Sarah came back to Ibrahim while he was praying. Ibrahim, gesturing with his hand, asked, "What has happened?" She replied, "Allah has spoiled the evil plot of that immoral infidel and gave me Hajar for service." So Abu Huraira then addressed his listener, saying that Hajar was your mother, O Bani ماء السماء, meaning the Arabs, the descendants of Ismail, Hajar's son. So this is the case of now the meeting of Hajar with the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife. Sarah, as you all know, Sarah, as you all know, was barren since she was young. So she gave this slave girl, servant girl, to Ibrahim, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give him or offer him children from her. So Allah gave him gave Ismail from Hajar to Ibrahim. Although Ibrahim was old, so he was very, very happy to see that Ismail is, you know, is his first son. After a while, Sarah became jealous, and she swore that, yani, she shouldn't stay with him altogether. And this is for a matter which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed. Because there is something bigger than this coming. And this is one of the reasons for Ibrahim to leave. Although he wanted to leave, but this is one of the reasons from amongst many for going to erect the house of Allah in Mecca. See how the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, we should really contemplate these matters very vividly. See the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Much of it is not known to us. And alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa ta'ala wa barakatuh. So la ilaha illallah. So he took Hajar and her son Ismail to Mecca. And then Mecca was not then inhabited. No houses, no people, no water, no irrigation. He gave her some water and some dates. We read now from Surah, we need the hadith concerning this now from Sahih al-Bukhari, same volume 4, number 583. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated the first lady to use a griddle was the mother of Ismail, Hajar. She used a griddle so that she might hide her tracks from Sarah. I mean, when Ibrahim married Hajar and she conceived Ismail, Sarah, Abraham's first wife, became jealous of her and swore that she would cut 3 parts from her body. So Hajar tied a griddle round her waist and ran away, dragging her robe behind her so as to wipe out her tracks lest Sarah should pursue her. Allah knows better. So she used to griddle so that she might slide her tracks from Sarah. Ibrahim brought her and her son Ismail while she was suckling him to a place at the Kaaba near a tree on the position of Zamzam, at the highest place in the mosque. During those days there was nobody in Mecca, nor was there any water. So he made them sit over there and placed near them a leather bag containing some dates. and a small water skin containing some water. And set out homeward towards Palestine. Ismail's mother followed him saying, "Ya Ibrahim, where are you going? Leaving us in this valley where there is no person whose company we may enjoy, nor is there anything to enjoy?" She repeated that to him many times. But she didn't look back at her. He didn't look rather back at her. Since he said to him, "Allahu alladhi amaraka bihada?" Has Allah ordered you to do so? He said, "Yes." Allahu Akbar. She said, look at this great woman, she said, "Idhan la yudayyuna." Then he will not neglect us. And returned while Ibrahim proceeded onwards, and on reaching the Sinaya where they couldn't see him, he faced the Kaaba and raising both hands invoked Allah saying the following prayer, which is in the Quran, chapter 14, verse 37. Chapter 14, 37. رب إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. Oh my Lord, I have made some of my offspring dwell in a valley without cultivation. By your sacred house, the Kaaba at Mecca, in order, O our Lord, that they may perform a salah. In order that they may perform a salah, so fill some hearts among men with love towards them. And O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. Ismail's mother went on suckling Ismail and drinking from the water she had. She said, when the water in the water skin had all been used up, she became thirsty and her child also became thirsty. She started looking at him, at Ismail, tossing in agony. She left him, for she could not endure looking at him, and found that the mountain of the Safa was the nearest mountain to her on that land. She stood on it and started looking at the valley keenly so that she might see somebody, but she could not see anybody. Then she descended from the Safa, and when she reached the valley, she tucked up her robe and ran in the valley like a person in distress and trouble, till she crossed the valley and reached the Marwa mountain, where she stood and started looking. And that's what people now do in their sa'i. Until she reached the Marwa mountain, where she stood and started looking, expecting to see someone, but she could not see anybody. She repeated that running between Safa and Marwa 7 times. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is the source of the tradition of the walking of the people between the Safa and Marwa. When she reached the Marwa for the last time, she heard a voice and she asked herself to be quiet. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Jokes. So she heard the voice again and again. And she said, whoever you may be, you have made me hear your voice. Have you got something to help me? Help us if you can, in another narration. And behold, it was and behold, she saw an angel at the place of Zamzam. And this angel, in the other narration, was Jibreel alayhi salam. He hits the earth with his heel. And behold, she saw the angel, and this angel is Jibreel alayhi salam, at the place of Zamzam, digging the earth with his heel or his wing, till water flowed from that place. She started to make something like a basin around it, using her hands in this way, and started filling her water skin with water with her hands. And the water was flowing out after she had scooped some of it. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ أُمُّ إِسْمَعِيلُ, may Allah bestow mercy on Ismail's mother. Had she let the Zamzam flow without trying to control it, or had she not scooped from that water to fill her water skin, Zamzam would have been a stream flowing on the surface of the earth. The Prophet ﷺ further added, then she drank water and suckled her child. The angel said to her, don't be afraid of being neglected, for this is the house of Allah, which will be built by this boy and his father. And Allah never neglects his people. The house, the Kaaba, at that time was on a high place resembling a hillock. And when torrents came, they flowed to its right and left. So she lived in that way till some companions from the tribe of Jurhum or a family from Jurhum passed by her and her child, as these people from the tribe were coming through the way of Qada. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. These people from the tribe of Jurhum, they landed in the lower part of Mecca, where they saw a bird that had the habit of flying around water and not leaving it. They said, this bird must be flying around water, though we know that there is no water in this valley. They know the area. They sent one of two messengers who discovered the source of water and returned and to inform them of the water. So they all came towards the water. The Prophet ﷺ added, Ismail's mother was sitting near the water. And they asked her, do you allow us to stay with you? She replied, yes, but you will have no right to possess this water. They agreed to that. The Prophet ﷺ further said, Ismail's mother was pleased with the whole situation, as she used to love to enjoy the company of the people. So they settled there, and later on, they sent for their families who came and settled with them, so that some families became permanent residents there. Now the child, meaning Ismail, grew up and learned Arabic from them, and his virtues caused them to love and admire him as he grew up. And when he reached the age of puberty, they made him marry a woman from amongst them. After Ismail's mother had died, Ibrahim came after Ismail's marriage in order to see his family that he had left before. So he returned from Palestine to Mecca. But he didn't find Ismail there. Ismail was hunting. When he asked Ismail's wife about him, she replied, he has gone in search of our livelihood. Then he asked her about their way of living and their conditions, how they are doing. And she replied, we are living in misery. We are living in hardship and destitution. Complaining to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, when your husband returns, now look at this, convey my salutation to him and tell him to change the threshold of the gate of his house. When Ismail came, he seemed to have felt something unusual, so he asked his wife, has anyone visited us? She replied, yes, an old man of so and so description came and asked me about you, and I informed him, and he asked about our state of living, and I told him that we were living in a hardship and poverty. On that Ismail said, did he advise you anything? She replied, yes, he told me to convey his salutation to you and to tell you to change the threshold of your gate. Ismail said, it was my father. Allahu Akbar. it was my father and he has ordered me to divorce you. This changing of this threshold, he knew what it meant. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So Ismail divorced her and married another woman from amongst them, from the tribe of Jurhum. Then Ibrahim stayed away from them for a period as long as Allah wished, and called on them again, but did not find Ismail. He came later, but did not find Ismail. Again, Ismail was hunting for the livelihood. So he came to Ismail's wife and asked her about Ismail. She said, he has gone in search of our livelihood. Ibrahim asked her, how are you getting on, asking about their sustenance and living? And she replied, we are prosperous and well off. We have everything in abundance, meaning. Then she thanked Allah Azza wa Jal. Here's the point. Then she thanked Allah, the most majestic, the most high. Ibrahim said, what kind of food do you eat? She said, meat. He said, what do you drink? She said, water. He said, oh Allah, bless their meat and water. The Prophet ﷺ added, at that time they didn't have grain. And if they had grain, he would have also invoked Allah to bless it. The Prophet ﷺ added, if somebody has only these two things as his sustenance, his health and disposition will be badly affected unless he lives in Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ added, then Ibrahim said to Ismail's wife, when your husband comes, give him my regards and tell him he should keep firm the threshold of his gate. When Ismail came back, he asked his wife, did anyone call on you? She replied, yes, a good looking old man came to me. So she praised him and added, he asked about you and I informed him, and he asked about our livelihood and I told him that we were in a good condition. Ismail, try to invite someone here. Ismail asked her, did he give you a piece of advice? She said, yes. He told me to give his regards to you and order that you should keep firm the threshold of your gate. On that, Ismail said, it was my father and you are the threshold of the gate. He has ordered me to keep you with me. Then Ibrahim stayed away from them for a period.